You're with Future Tense. New ideas, new approaches, new technologies. We're available as a podcast via iTunes and ABC Online, and our name on Twitter is RN Future Tense, all one word.
It's coming and nothing can stop it. After days of warnings, evacuations and preparations, Cyclone Yasi is on the doorstep of North Queensland. The Category 5 megastorm is due to cross the coast at around 10 p.m.
Cyclones, floods and bushfires in Australia, a major earthquake in New Zealand and blizzards across a huge chunk of North America. And it's only February. Increasingly, it seems the weather is not our friend. In this second part of the program, let's focus on our understanding of disasters and climate. So first up, David Karoly, to tell us about a new way of gauging the accuracy of climate prediction models.
ClimatePrediction.net is a really fascinating initiative because what it's seeking to do is harness the time on people's computers all around the world, if you like, background time, to run complex climate model simulations when people aren't actually using their computers at night time or when they're not being used otherwise. So what it involves is trying to better estimate the uncertainties in climate model simulations, both for the current period, the 20th century, and also projections into the future, because there are many uncertainties in simulating the climate systems. There's uncertainties in the way that we represent clouds or land-atmosphere interactions or even ocean-atmosphere interactions within these climate models. And it's the only way that we can get enough computer time to run these wide range of different uncertain parameters within the climate models.
So the more people involved, the more computers, the more capacity you have.
That's right. Each individual person is running a simulation with a certain set of parameters, and they're running it for a 20-year period, and then they can run it for another 20-year period. It runs in the background time, and it doesn't actually get completed in one night. It basically runs in the background and might run for more than a week in the background time when the people aren't using their computer. The results are sent back to the University of Oxford, who are coordinating the project, and those results and data are compiled together for the whole globe and for different parts of the globe to try to better understand the uncertainties in the climate system and how good, or in fact, how poor are the climate models in some aspects at simulating the climate variations.
Now, we talked about supercomputers on this program recently. Why couldn't this be done with a supercomputer?
It could be run on a supercomputer, but even with supercomputers, it takes a significant amount of time to run a single simulation. And what has been done with the ClimatePrediction.net project so far is to run more than 100,000 different climate model simulations for more than 160 years each. So the amount of time that it would require on a supercomputer to do that is much more than would be available to the University of Oxford or available to climate researchers in Australia or any group around the world. So it's really harnessing background time on volunteers who want to participate in this citizen science project.
Now, another, I suppose you could call it a citizen computing initiative that's come out of this climateprediction.net project is called Weather at Home. Just tell us about that. Now, I understand that you're going to set this up in Australia. It's already operating elsewhere, but you're going to set it up here.
That's correct. So climateprediction.net is using global climate models with fairly coarse resolution. Each grid cell of the Earth's surface that is represented in the climate models is about 250 kilometres by 250 kilometres. And that means that lots of small-scale processes can't be reliably simulated. Weather at Home is focusing much more on the weather variations at regional scales. And so Weather at Home is actually looking at regional climate simulations, both for the present, looking at what might be the influence of ocean temperature variations or what might be the influence of greenhouse gas variations, and also looking at regional simulations into the future. And so what's being done is to nest a regional climate model now with finer resolution, either 25 kilometre by 25 kilometre grid cells or 50 kilometre by 50 kilometre grid cells into a higher resolution global model. Those data are then being saved every day. And that means that we can look at weather variations, changes in hot extremes, changes in rainfall patterns on a day-to-day basis and other variations in the weather rather than just looking at changes in the month-to-month climate.
And again, that uses the spare capacity on people's computers. I mean, will weather at home actually make it easier for us to have a more accurate prediction, I guess, or make more accurate predictions of some of the really unusual weather events that we've seen in Australia over the last couple of years?
Yes, indeed it will. And that's the main reason why I am actively involved in setting up a regional weather at home simulation experiment for the Australian region. And we will be looking for volunteers from within Australia to participate in Weather at Home for Australia. Volunteers and people can get involved at present in the Weather at Home experiment, but they can only do it for regional simulations, either for North America, for Europe or for Southern Africa. Within the next 2 or 3 months, we'll have the regional experiments set up so they can be run for Australia. And you're absolutely right. What we will be trying to do is to better understand the sensitivity of climate model simulations to uncertainties in the physics, and then to try to understand how much of the changes, say, in observed heavy rainfall events or observed changes in hot extremes in Australia might be due to natural variability, like changes in ocean temperature patterns, and how much is likely to be due to changes in greenhouse gases or human-caused climate change. And this sort of experiment is needed to understand and quantify those differences in the likelihood or the risk of extreme events due to human-caused climate change or due to natural variability. And that's a really important question.
So there we are, climateprediction.net and weatheratehome.net, two citizen computing initiatives, and they're seeking your help and your computer downtime. If you're interested, go to our website and you'll find a link. And I was speaking there with Professor David Karoly, who's an ARC Federation Fellow and Professor of Meteorology in the School of Earth Sciences at the University of Melbourne.